Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help. Say it, boy. Need some help, y'all. Change the world what it used to be. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
like that. Bring back the family. Celebrating Women's History Month, okay? Wake up, everybody. No more backwards thinking. Time for thinking ahead. Celebrating Women's History Month. Welcome, welcome, listeners all around this beautiful world, and just happy and glad you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family, focusing on the youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Keep that in mind. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Okay? First, we're going to acknowledge God's word with the scripture. And we have scripture. It's called a psalm. Then it will be from Psalm 78, 1 through 8. And it says, "My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they, in turn, would tell their children and their children and their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his command. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word. Train up a child. We have to teach him to reach him. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we enter your presence with hearts of thanksgiving for who you are and all you have done for us. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for life, love, fellowship, and friendship. Thank you, Lord, for the avenue of Blog Talk Radio and the avenue of bringing back the family. God, we pray that you will use this video to help us learn how we really can bring back the family in the manner that you need for families to operate. Lord God, we please let Bring Back the Family provide a way to help our youth and our children to do what it is you have for them to do. And then, Lord, please help the parents to be able to give the youth, their children, what is needed to make what is needed for them, the children, the youth, to make it in this world. And, Lord, we know that the thing we need the most is more of you. Father God, you have ordained that Bring Back the Family, concentrate on you. If your word says that when children are brought up knowing your ways, when they are older, they will not depart from you, then the opposite is surely true. So we start this discussion today sober-minded that if young people are not raised knowing you, not rooted in you, and not guided in your righteousness, we will be victims later on for not helping, okay? And so we ask your blessings this afternoon on all who will speak and to speak to them and all that are listening. Let all your glory come forth, Lord. We just thank you and praise you and lift your name up on high in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So Bring Back the Family, celebrating the youth. Celebrating Women's History Month. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. And you know, I always say, a woman's work is never done. It's never done. And we are the, you know, the deliverers of our children. They come through us, you know. And we're the closest to them, you know, because they grow inside of us. And we have that special bond and relationship with our children. So we are, you know, one of the first teachers for them, okay? So Bring Back the Family is about the youth and what they need in order to make it in this world, okay? You know, we are all in this thing together. Our youth, you know they need an overhaul. They need, you know, a chance to change, you know. a new chance, a chance to start over, have a new beginning, a new start, a new boogie, a bogey, which is a new start, a do-over, okay? Because if we don't help them, again, we will be victims of not helping later. So bring back the family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth, educationally, professionally, spiritually, in order for them to be good, productive citizens so that they can contribute and be contributions to society and others all around this beautiful world. But we have to show them and give them a head start. My dad always said, all they need is a good foundation, a good foundation. And most of that means sacrifice. We always want to just give you something about the youth before we bring on our guest that we have today. I'm excited. Our guest is, they're doing it. And they're doing what somebody helped them do, okay? And so we bring our professionals, our people on that have been made contributions to the community and to this world so that our young people can look and see how they do it, and they're an example to look at, okay? And it's an example for them to look at and to follow and to know that they can do it too, okay? And they're going to do it with our help, okay? You know, I always say when we decide to have children, it becomes their turn. And we need to pay attention to them and what they need. You know, starting at infantry, infants, babies. You know, we should be singing to them, reading to them, playing with them, give them a hug, laughing with them, interacting, and just always, having a smile and laughter. Okay, to let them know that we love them. You know that we're happy about them. We're happy about them being here. And that's where it starts. It starts just that early. That's how early it starts. Once they get out the room, out the womb. No, I ain't a kid. Out the womb. So it's important to read to them. When they're in the womb. Read to them. I know when I interact with my little nephew, little something, they're explorers. Once they start to getting older, they start to exploring and start looking around, climbing on stuff, eating stuff, and doing some things, And a lot of the younger parents, they just always say, "Oh, stop that! Stop doing this! Stop doing that!" But you have to let those little ones just explore and just, take that time because this is their time. Whatever you're doing, stop and give them their time. And just make sure that they don't get hurt. If they feel like they want to climb the stairs, and go behind them and let them climb the stairs because that's how they learn. I know my brother Kenny was telling me about, because everybody is really concerned now about our kids learning. They hear the show, and we always have conversations after the show, and we know what we did for our kids to get them where they need to be. And so we are in such an emergency right now with our kids that, it's disturbing to us that our kids are getting out of school and they don't even know how to read. They can't spell. They can't write. They can't even do the basics. So he was just discussing, when we were in school and how we had teachers that we really cared about because they cared about us. And he mentioned her name was Mrs. Triplett. I think she was a kindergarten teacher, if I can remember. And she used to read to us. And so even when he said he was on Facebook or something, a gentleman that I guess we went to school with mentioned that asked the question who was our favorite teacher when we was in elementary school or whatever, and everybody said Mrs. Triplett. So, you know, so she made a difference in people's lives. So he was saying that all they need to do is get the basics. If you just teach them how to read, if you read to them and let them read to you, they should know how to write their names. Like, because you go to school at 5 years old, 4 and 5, kindergarten. And if they just get the basics, if they know how to read their name, write their name, know their address, and know how to say their name, and just basic reading, counting numbers with them, just basic things like that. By the second, third grade, he said, you could teach them anything, you know, and they'll get it. If you teach them, they'll get it. But if we don't teach them anything, then the teacher have a harder time. So if you just take them and nurture them and teach them just the basics, you know, just to get them, you know, first, second, third grade, because like they said, 0 to 5 is most of their learning, you know, time, and that they're sponges and that they learn a lot at that age. And so you get them to the third grade, then the teachers won't have such a hard time, you know, teaching these kids on these different levels. Everybody will go in the same, you know. At least they'll know all the basics, and then they could go from there. And so read to them every day. Tell them their numbers, the ABCs, just the basic stuff. And it'll program them, you know. Just like they watch everything else on TV, they, you know, they know how to do the video games, they know how to work the phones, they know how to work the computers. Now the babies know how, but I know he was saying that, you know, we didn't get our computers in our homes and in our schools for our kids until late 2010, where the suburbs had the computers a long time ago, so they were more advanced than our kids are. Quicker. So, you know, we just steadily just end up staying behind, okay? They already had computers a long time ago. I know when I would do family in my job and go to people's homes and things, those kids, I mean, little bitty ones would be on the computer and they would be doing architectural work. And I'm like, wow, you know. So we have to make sure that our kids stay, you know, ahead, you know, let them, teach them those basics. It's going to have to start young, because you see what's happening now. You know, just by them not knowing the basics or what they needed when they got in school, teachers have a hard time trying to teach on all these different levels, you know, so we got to help our teachers out. Send our kids to school ready. Make sure they're ready. But read to them, count to them, give them their numbers, you know, buy them educational toys. If they're going to watch TV, let the TV teach them, you know, all these educational stories they have on right now. They have a lot of educational stuff on right now. I'm just about turning into a kid again, because I'm singing with the baby, you know, the Mickey Mouse song. I just love it, you know. And so that's how they learn. They get used to hearing and seeing things that they need to learn, and they will learn. And we know they learn, because if they're in the car and they're listening to the worldly music or something they shouldn't be listening to, or bad words or things like that, they're going to pick it up, and then you're going to hear them say it, you know, on a regular. So just like we let them listen to those things, we need to let them listen to the things that's going to help them for their future. Okay, so let's just give them a head start. And, you know, this is nothing new. And this is just something that we have to get used to doing. We have to save. We have to help our kids. We have to save them. We have to start somewhere, okay? You know, we have to start somewhere. So I told my brother to get on here and express himself and tell some of these things, you know, because they are, because they're a little shy, but what he talks about, he always have a lot of good points, and things that he talked about, because he always talked about when his son was little, how he used to make him read. He would read to him and make him read back to him and teach him his numbers and things like that, and got him ready for, you know, for school. And whereas the mom might have been busy working, trying to keep her life together, because sometimes, you know, we get busy with working and taking care of all the other things and taking care of other people. We forget about our own kids. And, you know, in our community, you know, we don't have a lot of the nuclear family, where there's the mom and the dad and all the kids, you know. And so, and that plays a big part. Because you go to the suburbs and, you know, you got families, they're married off, they're married, and they're going to work and they're doing their thing. And so they don't have all these distractions. So the kids can be focused. You know, you got the soccer moms taking the kids to their different activities, and they're just focused on the kids and what they need to do, you know, in order to get out the house. In order to make it, you know, they're giving them what they need. They're sacrificing. They're taking them to all their different activities and being a part of their learning and making sure that they keep them on the highest of standards. My niece talked last week, talked about how her and her husband work together. So it really makes a difference when that mom and dad is in the house. I know it's not always going to be like that, but hey, eventually one day it's going to get like that again, because we're going to work on these little ones and then show them the proper way to, you know, just have life, you know, how life is supposed to go. And so she was discussed last week how they got their three young kids in all in one school, all at Michigan State University right now. And they were involved in all their learning. They was involved in their activities. They was the soccer moms. They was always at the school. They made a presence at the school all the time, so everybody knew who they were. They knew they were coming. So sometimes when your kids know that you're coming to check on them, then they know. They can stay focused. They could be, you know, doing their homework or doing their work in class and not acting up or whatever, because they know their parents are coming sometime that day. So they were totally involved, and they were over-recreated, activities, you know, ran track. Just was doing so much, and the parents were involved every step of the way. So it's just like that. It's just being involved in your kid. We chose to have these children. These young folks, y'all choosing to have these children. So it's their time. This is their time, and they only go this way once, you know. I try to tell other kids, you know, they listen, but they might not quite understand it if their own parents might not have told them, you know. This is your time. You're only going to be 10 one time. You're only going to be 12 one time, 13. You'll never be able to look back. You never get that age again. You'll never see that age again. So take advantage of the time, whatever you have allotted for you right now. If you're in sixth grade and you're in junior high school, take this time that's allotted for you to do what you're supposed to do for yourself, because you can't get that time back. You just get older and older and older, and it's okay to go back and get your education. It's okay to go back and get your education, but, you know, then you're in school with younger folks. You get older, and your nerves is not, you know, your patience is not as good, and you're in the classroom with younger people, you know. And so it's better to go ahead and get your education out the way, learn what you need to learn right now so that you can get what you can get. That's a lot for you right now at this moment in time, because the thing is that, you know, these programs and these agencies and things, they while you're young and you underage and all that, they run towards you, you know, when to help you at that age. when you're under 18, because they have usually have money coming in for you. But once you get older, over 18, and you know, age out, they don't have the funds for you that they would have like they have when you're underage. So no one's gonna really help you a whole lot, you know, after you get so-called grown. Okay, so it's better to take advantage of all the things that they have allotted for you, your children, you know, at the time that it's allotted for you at those tender age groups. Okay, you know, we done been there. We know what this is all about, and but the kids don't know. That's why we have to tell them. We have to keep on telling them. You know, they'll get it. They'll get it. So that's what I had. Very nice thing. Yeah, I just want to talk about the kids because that's what this show is about. It's about the youth. And so we have positive people, professional people to come on, like I said, and share their experiences, share their gifts and talents, you know, that God has blessed them with. And, you know, our kids, they're not born just to be born. They are born with some gifts and talents. We all have gifts and talents. And that's why we have to pay attention to our kids and just watch what they do. See what they're doing, you know. If they're talking a lot, then don't make them shut up. They're talking for a reason, you know. Maybe that's your next attorney in your family, you know. If they're around here trying to be busybodies and helping and doing this, I want to do this. Let me do this. Let me help. They're helpers, you know. Let them help, you know. Get them in the helping field, you know. You're going to see something that they're doing, you know. You're going to see something that they're doing that they're good at, and we should be watching them, asking them questions, things like that. I think that my parents were so focused on us being good kids and treating people right, being nice to people, being polite and being kind and all that, that they just kind of, you know, forgot that, you know, that what goes with that is, you know, a career that we could be, you know, doing something. They just wanted us to go out there and know how to act when we get out in the world. And that was good. That was good because, you know, we're not in trouble. So, but if they had to just maybe focus on me running my mouth all the time, which I was a very, very shy person. But once I started talking, it was that same teacher, Miss Triplett, that I was, you know, quiet in her class. I wouldn't say anything, and they thought that something was wrong with me. And so she gave me her phone number, after long story short, gave me her phone number for me to call her on the phone because my parents said, you better leave that girl alone. She can talk. She do talk. But they just, you know, were sure that I was retarded, something was wrong, I didn't have a voice box or something. I was just that quiet. And they probably should have left me quiet, but they didn't. So she gave me her phone number, and I called her and talked on the phone and talked and called her and called her and called her. So that number was disconnected. So, hey, she learned that I could talk. Okay. And then after that, I was talking too much. So they was calling to tell my parents to keep me from, you know, she's talking too much now. So, but don't suppress all that. Let them talk. You know, give them more to do. You know, give them something, you know, if I'm talking, then put me in some public speaking classes. I don't know. Nurture whatever it is that you see that kid doing. Like the young lady that was the gymnast. Her parents, her grandparents raised her, and she was flipping all over the house and just flipping. And instead of them telling her to sit down and go in the corner and, you know, and looked at that as being something bad, they put her in gymnastics classes. And now she's flipping and she, you know, in the Olympics and she's, you know, that's her career, you know. Something like that just blew her up just like that, you know. She made her own way with the help of her grandparents, just noticing what she does, noticing. Yeah. So I think I could have been an excellent attorney. I could have been an excellent nurse, you know, because my parents taught me how to care, you know. And so I do love to help people. I love to problem solve. You know, I love mystery. I love, you know, all of that. So I know that I could have been an excellent attorney or a nurse or anything like that, because basically I'm doing those things, you know. And so, hey, but that's okay. I love who I am. And I love the life and the nurturing that my parents did give me. I'm very, very grateful. Okay. I'd like to shout out to my sisters who are, you know, they queens. And I just appreciate what they've done for their children and the help that they've given to each other. And so I want to shout out to them, Women's History Month, that, you know, they did what they had. They took care of business, and their kids are all over the world doing what they are. Well, they're not here in Michigan and Detroit, not all of them. Some of them are, but most of them live in other states. And so, and that's what it's all about, just being a mom. You know, being a supporter of your kids, putting in the time that they need to be able to have the time, you know, to make it. They need that quality time, some time. Mm-hmm. They need you to go up to the school. They need you to beat up on them a little bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Our family, my sisters did not set a ride. At all, or for a child at all. Mm-mm. And they raised boys. Keep the cow wacky wacky out of them. Mm-hmm. So, and it's all right. They haven't been to jail. They ain't going to jail, you know. So you set them up for that. Set them up for success. A whooping ain't never hurt nobody. Never. Mm-mm. People go maybe go overboard sometimes, but my parents went overboard, but still, I'm still alive, ain't never been in jail, ain't trying to go, okay? So, hey, let's get to our women that we're going to celebrate today, and that's making big strides and making a difference in this world, and helping our young, you know, just being examples for young women all over the world. And that's what we need to do. We all need to be some good examples for the next generation that's coming behind us. It's just, you know what, it just all makes sense, you know, because somebody, you know, looks out for us. We had somebody to look at, to look up to. You know, somebody reached back and pulled us up, okay? We had good neighbors. I just want to shout out Miss King, Miss Mildred King on Annabelle Street. She was our neighbor, and she's probably in her 90s and doing well. And it was just a pillar of the community and the neighborhood, and just was a good mom, a good neighbor. The kids are all good, and you know, that's what it's about. Because you can live a good life when your kids don't worry you. You know, they come over and they see about her and help us like they should. Mm-hmm. That's Miss Queen, Mildred Queen. She's one of the last women on Annabelle, her and Miss Mitchell, but all the other mothers that were mothers, they have gone on. Okay, so. Just want to thank everybody for listening today and listening to me ramble on. And so we're going to get down to our first guest that we have here today. Okay, let me go. Okay. I'm going to open your mic, and we're going to get to our first guest we have today. And her name is Miss Gina Wilson Stewart. And she is the publisher and CEO of the Telegram newspaper. A newspaper where it tells the news, and it's always good news, you know. And it's just a little paper, but it's a big paper, a little big paper. It says a whole lot, okay? Miss Gina Wilson Stewart is publisher and CEO of Telegram Newspaper, a positive community activist. Gina Wilson Stewart has always been active in the community and utilized the Telegram newspaper to empower the residents through decisive information. Her analytical and inquisitive manner allows her to effectively encourage people to reach their potential and pass on positive energy to others. She continues to use her life as a testimony of perseverance and strength that only a reliance of spiritual grace can bring. Gina Wilson Stewart is a publisher of the Telegram newspaper that is based in Ecorse, Michigan. It is a community newspaper that covers news in metropolitan Detroit with a focus on the Wayne County community. The Telegram has been in publication since 1944 and is the oldest privately black-owned community newspaper in Michigan. The Telegram newspaper highlights positive community news, small business profiles, community events, and important state and national news. Through the Telegram, she is helping to prepare the next generation of media personnel by establishing journalism internship programs with local colleges and high schools. That's what I'm talking about. I'm going to say that again. Through the Telegram, Ms. Gina Wilson Stewart is helping to prepare the next generation of media personnel by establishing journalism internship programs with local colleges and high schools. Okay, so if your kids are interested in that, there you go. Gina has been the recipient of numerous awards and certificates, some of which are community awards from the Men's Club of River Rouge in 2008, Image Awards for the City of Inkster in 2009, received the Michigan Leading Ladies Award in 2013, the Media Award from Detroit Art in 2014, received the W.A. Scott II Award from the National Newspaper Publisher Association in 2015, the Mentor of the Year Award from University of Michigan, Dearborn in 2015, recognized as a 2016 Outstanding Woman in Christ by National Christians in Action, received the Community Leadership Award from River Rouge High School Community Program in 2016, received the Media Award from the Charles Wright Museum in 2016, the Women's Informed Network, one of the most influential African-American women in metropolitan Detroit in 2021, and the 2021 Community Health Champion from Western Wayne Family Health Center. In addition to her publishing duties and responsibilities, Gina's commitment to the community is evident in her service on several boards and involvement in several communities. Her current community relationships include president of the Downriver Delta CDC, focusing on encouraging local communities to work as a region. President of the NAACP Western Wayne Branch, whose mission is to fight for the civil rights of people in 24 cities in Wayne County. The executive board of the Penn Enrichment Center that focuses on improving the literacy rate of persons in the community. A board member at the Guidance Center, whose focus is on mental health program, and board member of the Michigan Press Association that shares information throughout the state. Gina Wilson Stewart is an alumnus of University of Detroit Mercy, where she earned a Master of Business Business Arts in an MBA in Organizational Behavior. Tuskegee University, where she earned a Bachelor of Science in Mechanical Engineering, and she is a proud graduate of River Rouge High School. She has been an active member of Pentecostal Missionary Baptist Church in Romulus since 2001, where she is a proud usher greeting the community. She is married to Keith Stewart and is the mother of Alexandria, Crystal, and Michael, godmother to Alan Gilliam and Larnell Hill, Kirby Niang, and she has 9 grandchildren. And she says, if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward. Martin Luther King Jr. All right, Miss Gina Wilson Stewart. Is that you? That is great, man.
I believe that is me. That sums it all up. I do believe.
Yes, ma'am. That is a very good resume there. I'd like to introduce you all to Ms. Gina Wilson Stewart, publisher and CEO of the Telegram newspaper. A little paper, but it is big. The little big paper.
Well, hello, everyone. Hello, Kathy. Thanks for having me on your blog talk show today.
Welcome.
Get sure I can hear you.
Can you hear me? You're welcome. Glad to
yep,
have
I
you.
Yeah, I can hear you now. Yes, mm-hmm. I hear you. Yes, I'm glad to be here. Thank you again for asking me to be on to talk about youth and the benefits we have by sharing in their lives early on, because I think it's very important as well.
Yes. So, yeah, you have a lengthy resume here, and, you know, this is what we want to have all of our youth. Not some of them, all of them have a resume like this, you know. So what can you tell us that'll help our parents and our youth to know that they could do all of these things and more? No limits. Talk to us about the newspaper. Talk to us about what you want to talk to us about.
So exactly. There's no limits to what young people can accomplish. I think a lot of times there are barriers that are put in front of them that don't get removed that stop them from getting some of the things accomplished that we feel that they should. And our role as parents as well as community members should be to remove whatever barriers that are preventing our youth from being successful and being exposed to different things that will help them to be successful. One thing that I know for sure is that I am who I am because my parents made sure that I was involved in a lot of different projects and organizations as I was growing up with my sisters and brother. I hear a lot of static. I don't know if that's me or not. So we had Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Cub Scouts, the Beechwood Center, where we had a lot of activities. And my parents always made sure we went to camp, church camp, so that we can get exposed to a lot of different things, a lot of different people with a religious background, so that we knew our upbringing going forward. And they also made sure that we knew our history. We knew more about Black history growing up because we talked about it a lot at home. And then what solidified most of it is when we spent so much time with our grandparents and our aunts and uncles and cousins. Every Sunday we would get together and have dinner at my grandparents' home. And it will be all of us together, all the cousins. And that was 5 families. And we would just share different things that were going on so that if there was any problems going on, we would be able to capitalize on those, get them out the way, and then we would all get our marching orders when we left. And because of the outreach that we had at the farm is what we call it, and I write about it constantly in the Telegram because I know that was essential to our success. All of the children from the oldest grandchild to probably, I would guess, 10 grandchildren, everybody had the same dream and passion where we all went to college and we all graduated. And then we pass those traits on to our children. And we know that that was part of our upbringing and our expectations. People would always ask us, how did we know we were going to college? And you know what? It was just inbred in us that that's what we were supposed to do. our aunts had went to college, but it's not like they went straight out of high school. They had started their families, and then they went to college. But then they realized that they needed to make sure that we all was on that same path. And I guess they drilled it in us so much that said those were our expectations, and that's what happened. We all went away. We all went to school, and we all have been blessed to be successful in our careers, whether we changed them or not. At this stage in our life, we're all, I guess the oldest is 65, and the youngest is maybe 50, 55. And in that time span, that age group, all of us have went to college, and our children are now college graduates or college students. So we know that education is very, very important. Not everybody has to get a college degree, but it definitely opens up a lot more opportunities for you if you do have that a college knowledge and exposure behind you. Sometimes it's not about what you learn in the books. It's about the relationships and the exposure you get by meeting other people when you're in college and learning some of the things that they did, and using that to elevate yourself. So I think that upbringing is very, very, very important. So that's where it all started. Okay. Is that good enough for a start?
Yes. And how did the Telegram newspaper come about?
So actually, I graduated with a mechanical engineering degree from Tuskegee. But while I was at Tuskegee, I worked at the college newspaper, which was kind of odd when I look back on it to say, how did I get to the Telegram? So I came back home to my home city after I finished being an engineer, and they needed someone to do, career counseling. So I had the owner of the Telegram newspaper at that time, Ben Wade, come speak to the class. And at that point, we hit it off. And I realized, along with my pastor, that I always have so much to say. And he said, so why don't you just buy the Telegram? And after working at the Telegram for a couple years, the opportunity presented itself where Mr. Wade wanted to sell the newspaper, but he didn't want to sell it to just anybody. And so he decided he would sell it to me, and I bought the paper in 2006. And from that point on, we have grown substantially from 2006 to 2022. You think about it, where newspapers are dwindling, and people saying they don't read the newspaper. Just this past week, we got 4 new subscriptions, and a week before that, we got 7 new subscriptions. So I would not agree with that when they say that people are not reading newspapers. They still are. The newspaper is there to share information, and what we focus on in Telegram is sharing positive information about the communities that we serve. We don't focus on negative news because you can get that anywhere, but we want to empower and encourage people with information that they need, whether it's health-related, education-related. We want to make sure the students know what's important. And sometimes you can't get it in a little sound bite. You actually need to read some facts. And people trust the Telegram because we focus on providing factual information to the community. And from that aspect, we expanded to get a website and social media. So we're doing everything that we need to do to make sure the Telegram is everywhere. And I know you mentioned about the internships. I do believe that not every news organization is going to hire people from our community to get their experience. I think it's my responsibility, by being one of the oldest newspapers in the community, well, in the state, really. If mainstream media is not going to hire our students, then I believe that I have that responsibility, and I take that seriously. And so whenever there's a student in high school or college that has an interest in journalism, photography, or just telling stories, I give them that opportunity because I don't know who else would. So I make sure that we're available so that people can hone their skills. And if they want to leave in a year or two, once they develop, I have no problem with that because I've done my responsibility to making sure that they have the skills they need to move to another level. So that is it. That's how I feel about that.
That's great. Yeah, we have to invest in our own kids. I know when I go to the doctor and different appointments with him, I went to my cardiologist the other day, and it's like, it, you know how they come in as a team, you know, and it was just all, I think they were Indian people, all Indians. It wasn't none of us. I didn't see anybody, you know, that looked like me, and it was just, like, disturbing to me, you know. And so I was like, we need to be there. So they're teaching their kids. They want them to be the best that they can be. It's time for us to invest in ours, you know, and our children so that they can be the best that they can be and get into all of these professions that's for them. It's for them too.
And we actually ran an article about that because I found out that Wayne State University has a summer program where they actually are training students that are interested in the medical field. These are high school students can come in for the summer and get some exposure to the medical field to see if it's what they want to do. Of course, there was a lot of non-black students in the class. However, it's an opportunity that we can take advantage of because, yes, when I went to the cancer ward over in Dearborn at Oakwood, the wall of pictures were all Indian people, just like you said, of all the doctors that were in that area. And I said, the reason why is probably the exposure for our children to know that that option is available to them. So what do we do differently now that I've seen that? When I found the article about Wayne State, I definitely put it in the Telegram so that students and parents would know that it is an option. If they want to go into the medical field, they can apply for the program at Wayne State. And I'm sure there are other programs available, but we have to let the students know that those options are available. And we have to work with the school districts to make sure that they're doing their part in to letting the students know that there are options for them. Everybody doesn't want to be a athlete. No, everybody doesn't want to be a model. There are other people that want different kinds of careers, and our schools need to at least have those options available to the students. But we as parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, if we find out about it, we need to let our students know that information as well.
Yeah, we have to get more involved. The parents have to get more involved. The community has to get more involved. We have to go to the schools and see exactly what these counselors, if they even have counselors anymore, what are they doing to help our kids to, you know, to know about these different programs that are going on. We have to play a bigger part in our community to make sure that, you know, we got a doctor in the house, you know.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the Western Wayne County NAACP gives away 4 scholarships every year to students in Western Wayne County. 2 weeks ago, was it 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we sent off 42 applications with letters to the counselors in the schools in Wayne County to let them know that it's two $1,000 scholarships and two $500 scholarships available, and the deadline is April 1st. And when I checked the mailbox on Thursday, there were no applications in there. There was none that came into our email. So what's going to happen in April 1st, which is only 2 weeks away? we might not have any applications available to even give out the scholarships.
And what was that?
So are they not telling us? Say it again.
What was that scholarship for?
Western Wayne County NAACP gives away 4 scholarships every year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just basic requirements, 2.5, grade point average, letter recommendation, 2 letters of recommendations, and an essay on if you were the president of the NAACP, what 3 issues would you want to work on? Is it? Plain and simple. And right now we have no applications.
You hear that, listeners?
Yep.
No applications. And so you gave those to the schools, and so it was their responsibility to give it out to the students.
Correct. We emailed them and mailed them. So they got a hard copy and they got an email about it. So they can go to our website or send me an email, and we'll make sure we get the application to the students. As long as you live in Western Wayne County area, that's outside of Detroit, and it's 24 cities. Our website is www.westernwaynecountynaacp.com. You can see the cities that's on our site. If you live in any of those cities, you can apply for the scholarship. And all my contact information is on there. And Gina Wilson, GinaCStewart@gmail.com is the easiest email that you can send it to if you have any questions.
Wow. Did you hear that? So
there's other scholarships available too. So make sure that the students and the parents check with the high school counselors to see if they have a listing of scholarships that are available for high school graduating seniors. So they should have a list.
But that's very odd that no one has, took advantage of that. And so that's why it's so important for us to be, at the school and, asking questions and just looking around and seeing, because maybe they don't feel like our kids are worthy of any of that. They don't deserve it. They don't, or don't want them to have it. So we have to be the ones to go and get these things done for our kids. We have to. Now, it should be at least one application in that box, but they probably don't know about it.
Yep. Well, I don't know what the problem is, but
mm-hmm.
we'll do a follow-up email.
All right. So maybe we're going to have to start doing some community outreach as far as letting our community know about the scholarship, putting them in maybe the community centers and in the churches so that that would be
mm-hmm.
like a backup. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, that would work.
The other churches, they get more involved.
That's about it for now. If you had any other questions.
Good, that is great. If anybody have any questions, you can press 1 and I will open up your mic and ask Ms. Gina Wilson-Stewart, question? Okay, 5231. Do you have a question? 5231, that looks like Keela. Your mic is open. You have your hand raised. Did you have a question, Keela Freeman?
Actually, no. I'm my phone. It got unmuted, but.
Okay.
Hello.
Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't.
Mm-hmm. Did you forward that information to the Ecor School District?
Yes, I did.
You did? Okay. I'll make sure I follow up.
Okay, that'll
yeah.
be great.
All right. Thank you.
You know, we always make sure our local school districts get the information.
Does it go to the superintendent or?
No, we didn't send it out to the superintendent. The letter, the hard copy that was mailed out said counseling department attention scholarship.
Okay, so the counselor.
And then the address
okay.
of the school. So the counselor should have
okay.
got it.
All righty. Okay, thank you. I'll follow up.
Okay, thank you. And this Monday was to be our education forum at our NAACP meeting, but because with Dr. Tallison from eCourse, Dr. Coleman from River Rouge, and Dr. Simmons from Westwood, which is Robichaud, they were having a forum tomorrow at our NAACP meeting. However, eCourse won, the basketball team won their districts, and Robichaud from Westwood won their district. So those superintendents will be at the regional basketball game tomorrow night. So we're going to have to postpone our educational forum that we were going to have. So I'm excited that the teams won their regional so they can hopefully go on to the next level as they fight to be a state championship. But it kind of threw us in a turmoil because we always plan these our speakers like in advance. So now later on today, actually working on it right now, trying to get our speaker for our NAACP meeting tomorrow evening. So I'm kind of like looking at text messages as the committee is letting me know who we're going to have, whether it's going to be state troopers or who, because we need to make sure we're doing impactful information with the NAACP members. So I just threw that in because I'm like, my mind is a couple of different places right now because we're trying to make sure we can get that flyer retracted and then get a new speaker ready for tomorrow. And that's, you know, 24 hours from now, basically.
Yeah, with this resume, you're pretty busy, and I'm sure your phone rings all the time. And lots of emails to answer. You know, I know that you're involved in, well, with the NAACP and as far as, like, doing, like, what is it, you know, with the police department, talking with the police departments on some of the unfairness that's going on, you know, with our young people driving and things like that. Talk to us about that a little bit.
Yes, and that's our backup option for tomorrow is to have one of the Michigan State Troopers for this area come on and talk about the they actually released a report saying that it was proven that minorities had been stopped more than other races by the state troopers, and we want to know what actions are they going to be taking going forward to prevent that to happen. And then I wanted to throw in what ways are they going to recruit more diverse troopers in our areas, and what are they going to do maybe in our schools to come out and let them know that that's a viable career. So from this morning getting that text saying that the other superintendent wasn't going to be there, we've come up with, okay, that's where we want to go. So we're just trying to close that up. One other thing that we're doing is we have these pamphlets put on by the state that says what to do when you get stopped by the police. And we realize that we probably need to let the students and parents know what the expectations are. A lot of young people, they have a lot of energy. So when they do get stopped by the police, what do? Probably start talking. And that's not what should happen. So we want to make sure that putting out information that's going to help them not get detained by the police that will give them a record early on, but to get them home safely and then let their parents or other people work on what actually happened. Because, you know, it's only an instant that the situation can change from being nice and peaceful to, oh, my God, something terrible happened. So we definitely don't want that to happen to our kids, to any kid, really. But we want to make sure we're sharing information that could minimize the destructive interactions that the youth have with police officers. So we did not stop the violence tours between Ecorse Rouge and Southwest Detroit, out of the Tri-Cities area. We've had two of those over the last 2 years. One was in person and one was virtual, because we wanted the communities to work together on stopping all the violence that was going on in these three cities, because, you know, we're all the same out this way. But we want to make sure that not only the youth are safe, but the millennials are safe, because, you know, they know everything, right? And because they think they know everything, they are probably more subjective to responding in a negative way that would cause the situation to go crazy. So we know that we have to do our part to get the word out, but we also are looking for community members to join with us to help get the word out. Because if we know it, that's one thing, but we need to make sure the community knows what they should be doing as well. So our meeting will be on Zoom tomorrow. If we get the state trooper lined up, which I think my text just said that he did confirm, I'll send out the information to you, Kathy, and you can get it to your listeners. At least they can know how to tune in and find out some information.
Okay. Do you have the information now? You can say it.
No, I got it. I mean, I've gotten like four text messages since I've been talking. So I just got to go back and read them all.
Okay. Okay, somebody asked a question about this. You say that Detroit wasn't, did she say Detroit was not included?
Detroit has a Detroit branch of the NAACP. We're the Western Wayne County branch.
Okay.
But Detroit does have scholarships. As a matter of fact, Detroit has a program going on right now with scholarships. They partner with, is it PNC Bank? So go to their website, Detroit NACP, I think it's .org. Just put in Detroit NAACP, their website will come up, and you'll see the scholarships that they offer. They have a program. I don't know if the deadline is passed, but they do have programs. They announced programs last month.
Okay. Thank you, Gina. Do anybody have any questions for Ms. Gina Stewart?
And Kathy, if go ahead.
Go ahead.
Was it another question?
No, I was going to say that was a lot of good information that you shared with us today. And,
great. All right, I appreciate it. Thank you for the time to allow me to share a little bit about being a powerful woman in the southeastern Michigan area. And to read the telegram is available online, telegramnews.net, or through subscriptions and get it delivered directly to your home or to your business.
You hear that? Online, the telegram is online, telegramnews.net. business, and then to your home or to your business.
Oh, okay.
Well,
so the
state troop. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say the state trooper is not available for tomorrow. I just read my text message.
Okay. Good.
Plan B.
So she did all the time. So that's how we need to get our young folks busy, the same way. So are your internships just for students that's interested in the Telegram, I'm interested in publishing the news and all that? Is it just for or can we just bring them and let them get interested in something? Do you do like tours and tours and speakers engagements like that to get kids, you know, and youth involved and something like that?
So we do a lot of outreach as it relates to seeing if people are interested in journalism. When I go speak at the schools, of course it's been different since COVID, but I will go to the schools and talk to the students about journalism, or they come by the office. We were located in River Rouge. So I think it's just very important that students learn some work ethic anyway. Some people would just come and work during the summer, you know, summer programs, and they might do the filing for me or copying, but they're learning stuff about journalism as they're at work. And I think we work a lot with, what is it, DCC on Southgate or North Line,
uh-huh.
And we have students from them that work with us each year. So at that point, they don't necessarily have to know about journalism, but if they want to get one of those summer positions, then they can come work at the Telegram, and then I always find out what their interest is in, and then I try to make their assignment beneficial to them to get them some experience exactly in what they would like to do. Because with the Telegram and myself, Gina, we have relationships with all different type of businesses and organizations, and we can probably pair them up with whoever, from depending on what they want to do. And that way they can actually get some experience in their field of interest.
Because you went from engineering to journalism. And that's interesting.
And I did a stint at substitute teaching, because I've always been a tutor. And I was a substitute teacher at River Rouge High School. And from there, I went to the Career Center. And then that's how I met with Mr. Wade, as I was helping people do their resumes and profiles and teaching them how to tell time, because I was shocked that there were 10th, 11th graders didn't know how to tell time with the hands on the clock. They only knew how to tell time with the digital clock in the room.
Mm.
That's a little off subject. But, yeah, if you want to teach your kids something, make sure they know how to tell time with the clock, with hands on it, because I found out a lot of them didn't know that.
Yeah. You just look at things now. Okay, it's daylight. It's not. It's 6 o'clock. Not a, you know, digital, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can do that, but they couldn't tell. How do you know it was 10 minutes after, or 6:15? I was like, I looked at my watch, and this was high school.
A lot of work to do. A lot of work to do. You really have to pay attention. So if you want to be an engineering student, a journalism student, what are some of the things that we need to be working with our kids right now in order for them to be, you know, we want to gear them that way?
I think reading should definitely be high on the list, because reading comprehension skills are not that great in our community, from what I've noticed. And I would say exposure, learning from different things that's going on in the community. Sometimes just your exposure from talking to different people will help you kind of decide what you want to do. I didn't know I wanted to be an engineer. I didn't go to college for engineering, but I was very good at math and science. And when I was in college, my friends told me they were engineers, and engineers was going to make all the money, and you just had to be good in science and math. And I called my mom, and she checked my ACT scores, and it said good in science and math, and I switched my degree. So my second year at Tuskegee, I switched over to engineering, and because, one, it was going to make a lot of money back in the day when I graduated in early 80s, and that's why I switched. I'm just going to be honest. I switched just for that reason alone. I had the aptitude for it, and I knew it was going to pay a lot, and it did. It gave me and my daughter a wonderful lifestyle because it did. It did pay well, but it wasn't my passion. My passion is more so talking with people, and that's how I ended up getting my MBA and then switching over to what I like, and that's what I'm doing now, what I like. And because I had skills anyway, I was able to capitalize on that and do well at turning the Telegram newspaper into what it is today. Because of all the relationships and talking to people and all of that great stuff. One thing I do suggest is we make sure that our kids can hold a conversation with someone. And I'm not talking about two or three words. I mean, actually talk to adults about a topic. Because that's what I see communication is like on their phone. And that's not going to work. They definitely need to hold a conversation with somebody. And don't say, I'll text them. You know, tell them to call you. And that would definitely help them develop their communication skills versus, you know, everybody don't want to text. My kids know they can't call me. I mean, they can't text me on Mother's Day and all that, my birthday. They have to call me.
Right.
They have to call me. We got to talk. We can't do a text. Don't text me. They gonna know. They normally be mad if they try to text me, so they don't text me anymore.
Right. It is annoying when you do all that texting. It's just so. Yeah, you want to have a conversation, and this puts them further behind because then they can't have a conversation because they're always texting. So that's gonna put them
exactly
further behind. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much. Nobody have any questions, and I know that you are busy, and we just appreciate you and all your hard work and efforts and everything that you're doing for the community. Did you want to say anything about the NAACP as far as them being members, or if they're not a member, if they want to join, get involved?
Yes, it is only $10 for youth. We have a youth branch as well as an adult branch. The adult branch is $30 for a year. The youth branch is $10 for a year. And we actually partnered with the Michigan Department of Civil Rights, trying to put together a civil rights training for the high schools. We picked eCourse and Rouge to be the pilot program for this year. And then the Michigan Department of Civil Rights want to get it statewide, but we want to do a pilot first. And so we're going to try to see if we can get it accomplished, hopefully this year, at least one session at each of the eCourse and Rouge, so we'll know how to create it going forward. But we know that voting is always important, and we need kids to understand why they need to vote, as well as adults need to know why they need to vote. So that's what we'll be working on because we have big elections this year for governors, state reps, state senators, local municipalities actually have elections, that's local cities, mayors, city council people, they will all be on the ballot this year in a lot of the cities. So we want to make sure people know how to look for, make educated decisions when it comes to using their vote, because, you know, your vote is your power, and we don't want you just to give your vote away to anybody. We want you to actually be able to say you've talked to these people and you know that they'll make good decisions for your community, whether it's a school board or city government or a state. And that's all we got this year, all of that. So, you know, always check us out in at Western Wayne County, NAACP.com, or Telegram at telegramnews.net. And everybody has my cell phone number. It's 313-949-3133. I don't mind giving it out because people call me all the time. So that is my contact information for any of those things or anything you have questions about. You can always call me or reach out to me through email at GinaCStewart@gmail.com.
Thank you so much, and that's a good way for the youth to be able to get engaged and be able to see how, a meeting operates and be able to, like you said, hold conversations if they're involved in, different organizations and things like that. They can just sit back and watch and, interact, see how people interact. And that's a good learning. So we just have to get our youth involved. So thank you, Gina Wilson.
And Kathy, before I go, I just want to say Happy Women's History Month to you as well, and thank you for taking on this journey to help get the information out to the masses. So congratulations to you.
Thank you. It's been good, and it's, like I was telling you, it's something that God wants, and he's pushing and pushing, and, every week is something different, and I don't get this ahead of time. I don't get what I'm going to say ahead of time. It just kind of come at the last minute, and it's like, this is his journey. He wants this done, and I'm just trying to trying to find it. This is good so far. And thanks. Thank you. Yeah, we're all in this thing together.
Right.
And we have to help one another. We have to help each other and support one another, because we are in this thing together. These are our kids. If we don't help them, we'll be victims of not helping. A lot going on, and we're seeing a lot. Just what I'm saying, if we don't help our youth now, we'll be victims later.
Yep, I agree.
So we don't want to get any worse. We got to start, getting in the trenches and just doing what we have to do, be involved in the community, be involved in our kids' lives 100%. So that they can get lost, so that they can go out and have their way, in the world and have good, productive lives and be good, productive community citizens. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you
I
so
do.
Much. We appreciate
all
you.
All right, young lady.
Enjoy your day and your week and your year, and we're going to come back on again one day.
Okay, I'll be looking forward to it.
Thank you.
All right, ladies, have a great evening. All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, that is great. That was just really good. I hope you guys enjoyed that and got something out of it. So we're going to have our next guest, and she's been on before, and she really had a lot to share with us as far as law and legal information, and then she could probably talk more about what Ms. Gina was talking about as far as the pamphlet that they have for making sure our kids, say the right things if they get pulled over, and because she did hit on that last time she was with us, so that they can, be able to get home safely. And so our next guest is going to be Attorney Dion Portillo. Like I said, she was on before. And Dion, you with us? Just press 1. And so, let me see. I did. You know, it has been a shortage of teachers, a shortage of nurses, just a shortage. And you know, this shortage is a cause. One cause of it is that we're not making sure our kids are educated, so that they could get into some of these fields, you know, because we need teachers that look like us that's going to teach our kids and make sure our kids get it as well. And so they have accelerated courses going on now, whereas you could get your teaching degree in 2 years instead of 4 years because they are so desperate for teachers. And I think it when I heard it was from Marygold College, and I think I'm not sure Wayne State, but I know Marygold College have a program where you could get your teaching degree in 2 years, your nursing degree in 2 years, and like Gina said, they need police officers. So we have to engage and introduce our kids to some of these fields because they're wide open right now. And so we get them ready for it, introduce it to them, you know, tell them about it, let them do the research about it. Then when it's time for them to make a choice on, you know, what career they want to make, then they'll have something to work with. They'll have a plan. They need to have a plan. Every kid need to have a plan. What's your plan for your child, for your youth? What's your plan for them? You know, but we have to help them make a plan. We have to help them, you know, just get it in their psyche, get it in their head that, you know, you need a career. You need to be able to take care of yourself. How you going to do that? Everybody should have a plan. I think we entertain our kids too much. We just entertain them and, you know, let them have their way in our households. And so we have to change. We all in this team together. We got to love each and every one of our kids. We have to love them all and want the best for each and every one of them. Okay? So I'm just putting on this. Okay. Ms. Dion, I think she's in now. And we're going to get her. Hi, Ms. Dion. Just want to introduce you to, yes, we hear you loud and clear. Welcome to Bring Back the Family. We just want to, you know, say a little bit about you. And so Dion Clarissa Portillo, and she's located, she's an attorney at law. And she's located at 28475 Greenfield Road, Suite 213, Southfield, Michigan, 48076. And her phone number is 313-971-2700. And her email is lawofficeofdion, that's with one N, D-I-O-N-E, C. Portillo, P-A-T-I-L-L-O, @gmail.com. And she serves Wayne, Oakland, Macomb, Monroe, as well as other counties. And her main practice areas are family law, which entails divorces, custody, parenting time, child support, etc. And she also practices in the areas of criminal, civil, landlord, tenant, and traffic law. Okay, she don't charge for her consultations right now, so. You want to talk to Dion about something, Dion Portillo about something, you better call us while it's no charge. Okay, welcome to Bring Back the Family and happy and Women's History Month to you. And we just thank you for being a pillar in our community and doing the work to get where you are today. Okay, you're a good example for our young ladies and young men to look to see that you're doing positive things. Okay, and doing something that's going to help you be able to take care of yourself and your family. And that's what we want our young people to do, to be able to get to the point where they can, you know, be able to take care of themselves and be make a contribution to their communities and to this world. Welcome.
Thank you.
And so you were on before, and we talked about a lot the things that we really did need to know. And the one thing I liked was that you said, you know, listen to your attorney, listen to them. And, you know, if I went to school and learned how to do A, B, C, and D, then, and you call me for advice and you call me for my business and my services, then you should listen. Or else you're going to find yourself in, you know, more trouble. You know, so if you want me to represent you, you better listen. So I thought that was funny because I know that we are hard-headed people and we think we know. So what do you think we need to know today?
Pretty much the same thing. If you know, a lot of people listen to individuals who aren't lawyers, and they actually listen more to that advice than they do the advice coming from an actual lawyer. And another important thing is you always want to tell your lawyer everything, right? So, for example, I had it's called an evidentiary hearing, but an evidentiary hearing is a trial. It's the same exact type of prep. I really don't know why the court differentiates between the two. It's the same thing. So I had one on Friday. And all, you know, this different testimony comes out, and my question to my client, why didn't you tell me that? Oh, well, I didn't think it was important. Even things that you don't think are important, you still need to tell your lawyer, because then your lawyer is blindsided in court, and, you know, you got to try to figure out how to get over that hump, but you're in court. So it doesn't work like on television, how you see evidence come in during the middle of the trial. If that evidence is not sent to the court at least 7 to 14 days prior to the trial, it can't be used. You can't get it in. So you have to tell your lawyer everything you know about the situation, whether it hurts you or helps you. You have to tell your lawyer both.
Right. Because then it has a big impact if you don't, I suppose, yeah.
Right.
You keep a secret from the person you're paying to help you.
Right, and it's kind of counterintuitive because how are you going to get what you need if your lawyer doesn't even know everything about the case? Like, for example, my client told me he deleted all the text messages between him and the other party. But while we were in court, he's showing me text messages to impeach the other side's, you know, testimony. And I'm like, why didn't you tell me this, like, 2 weeks ago when I asked you for the information? You know, so it can ruin your case. Like, the case will end up in the Court of Appeals because the trial courts don't have enough information. You have to give them everything. The judges can only make a decision based off of what they have.
Okay. I don't know if you were listening when Ms. Gina Stewart was on, and she was said that they had a pamphlet that tell the youth what they should do if they get stopped by the police. And I know you hit on that quite a bit last time, so that they would be able to get home peacefully, and what to say and what not to say. And she was saying just let your parents handle it. So that they could, you know, be able to get home safely. Because once they say one thing, it'll lead to another, and then it'll, you know, basically get out of control most of the time.
Right, and with the juveniles, it's a little different. So when you're an adult and you make a statement to the police, you know, your lawyer can try to get it out, you know, file a motion. But when you're a child and you enter the court system, it's going to be through the family court division. But one hearing called a phase two hearing, if they're trying to waive you up to adult court, in that hearing, the Michigan rules of evidence don't apply, which means whatever you said to the police is admissible. All of it can come in. It's not like the adult system where you can try to file a motion and say that your rights were violated, but that's because the Michigan rules of evidence apply. They don't in the juvenile system. So juveniles really should be quiet. I have a couple of juvenile cases where they didn't be quiet, and it's nothing I can do to get those statements out. So as a child, you just want to zip it and wait on your parents to get there. The officers really aren't supposed to question you anyway. I believe it's if you're under, I believe under 16. They can't question you if you say you don't want to talk. Under a certain age, I don't believe they can question you at all without a parent available. So minors really should feel the need to be quiet because those statements will follow you through that case.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, yeah, we have to talk to our kids about things like that. These are things that we don't even know that we should be telling them. So that's some good information.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, it's, I mean, I love what I do, but it's like people have, even though you people have a lawyer represent them, a lot of people won't trust their lawyer the way they don't trust the system. But we're bound by ethical rules, and I think the main person you should really be telling everything to is your lawyer, because even if you tell me certain things, I can't divulge that to the court. You'll lose your license. And I think a lot of people really don't understand that what they see on television, how they'll tell their lawyer something, and then their lawyer will go in chambers, and you can't do that in the real life. You can't, the judge won't even listen to it, you know, and then the attorney may get sanctioned. You can't do that. So I just really think it's important that people fully trust their lawyer. I know it's a little harder in the criminal realm, but in the civil, you know, the family cases and things like that, you really need to tell your lawyer everything, especially more in the criminal realm. I think in the criminal realm I can understand a little bit more why the client may not trust their lawyer, especially if it's a court appointed. And court appointeds do good work. They're just overworked. So they can't devote some of the time that needs to be devoted to the case. But you still need to tell them everything, because depending on what you tell them, that can help them maybe get you less time or get you the custody that you want. You know, you just have to be upfront and honest about everything.
So what, I know you talked about, you know, becoming an attorney. So what really encouraged you? What do you think that we should be encouraging our youth what will we see in our youth now that might think, let us know that they might be interested in something like that? Or what should we be doing to encourage them maybe to be an attorney if you think that's one of their gifts?
Well, I think that what you really should do, a person that, because I developed a goal of being an attorney. I was little. I don't even remember what fueled it. It had to be God. But if you see a child that talks about it and it's something that they want to do, the first step is to show them how serious it is. You know, take them to the court and let them see how that works. Maybe get them involved. Because I know some of the colleges, I don't know if they partner with the schools, like with the first, not the secondary school, so that the children can come in and, you know, like my daughter did, she went in and to the court, it was like a field trip, things like that. Because then they also get to see the serious side of it as opposed to what they're seeing on TV. Because I get a lot of people to ask me, is it the same as it is on television? No, it's not. It's not even remotely close to what you see on television. So I would say that. Different programs in the school, outside of the school, And some lawyers will allow some students to come to court with them, like if the parent knows a lawyer. Because I've, you know, offered that to some of my friends' kids that want to come. So if it's something that they really want to do, they first need to see how serious it is, because there really is no glamorous side, you know, on television. And, they, you know, you talk about different things, the money, and there is no glamorous side to this at all. It's very hard. It's very frustrating. It's a lot of work. It's a whole lot of work. That's one of the reasons that I stopped advertising, because the work will come, but it's not the argument in court is the easy part. It's the behind the scenes is the hard part, the staying up late, getting a brief drafted, the reading. So if a child sees the hard part and to do it, then I believe that tells you that that's a fire that they have, that you can fuel with different programs and, you know, maybe even just taking them to court if it's your child, or, you know, if it's a classroom, you can maybe talk to the teacher and see if that's something that would be available to the kids as a field trip. Mm-hmm. And the importance of reading. That's a huge, that is 99% of my work, reading, because the other side will get over on you very quickly if you do not read. So that is very important. I have a friend who hates to read, and she's licensed in 2 states. She won't, I don't know what she's doing, but she does it. So, you know, that will affect your clients down the line if you don't like to read. So that really needs to be instilled in a child. As soon as the child is born, you know, the reading is very, very, very important in this field.
She don't like to read.
No. See, you know, I love her, but she, she doesn't like to read.
That's a big part of it. She must have somebody reading to her.
Well, no, okay, so she just got licensed. She's fairly young. I think she might be, she's my son's age. I think she might be 26, 27. She doesn't like to read, so she's got a rude awakening if she really plans on practicing.
Well, sometimes, you know, like when your parent is an attorney, then, you know, it goes down the line in everybody in the house. So do you see that happening in your own family, with your own immediate family? Or is she being forced to be an attorney? Does she want to be an attorney? Is her family, you know, attorney?
Well, she, my friend, no one in her family is a lawyer. She is just something that she wanted to do. But I think that she was one of the people that saw the glamorous side of it, because she worked at Jeffrey Feiger's office right around the time she was licensed. So I think it was just the glamorous part for her, and it was kind of a rude awakening once she got through with law school and once she took the bar exam. So that's a bad time for it to be a rude awakening, though, you know, because of the student loan debt. Even if you got, even if you got to go for free, because some students got scholarships. So no, for her, there's no one in the family. Now, for me, I don't see my children doing it. They did want to become lawyers until they saw what I went through in law school. Mm. And that's the importance of seeing that other side. Because if you want to be a lawyer, the way that the law is so hidden and it seems like it's so secret until you actually become a lawyer, that creates a problem for people that want to be lawyers, because they only see the glamorous side. They don't see the hard work part. They only see their lawyer in court for 5 minutes, and then they think that's it. So, you know, if you do have someone that really wants to be a lawyer, they have to see the hard side. They need to sit and watch someone day in and day out, and that'll really tell them if that's something that they want to do.
Wow. I wouldn't want to deter them. I said, we need our own attorneys.
Right.
We need them in those positions now.
Right. You know, and it's funny you say that because when I, at the time I got accepted to law school, I was a mediator. I worked at the mediation office, but everyone else was like lawyers in there. So when I got accepted, I was happy, but they were not. They all said, "You sure this is what you really want to do?" And I was like, "Yeah, of course. This is the only thing I've ever wanted to do." And, you know, a couple people was like, "I wouldn't do it if I were you, if I had it to do all over again." And so I was like, okay, that's not real, you know, but you know what? I get it now. I get it now. This is not for, you know, and it's sad because some people do come to me and they ask me, do you think that this is something that I can do? And I'm not always honest with them because you don't want to deter people. But when you go through this pure hell that of law school and then the bar and then, the practicing, you do kind of, you can kind of see people that may not succeed. You don't tell them that, but you do know. And I believe that when I told the lawyers I worked with, I got accepted. I don't think that they thought I couldn't succeed. I just think that they knew I didn't realize what I was getting myself into. Because it's not what you think, and it's so hard to explain that statement. But it's just not anything close to what anyone could possibly imagine. Have you ever seen The Hunger Games?
No.
For anyone who's ever seen The Hunger Games, that's the start of your law school and legal career. You should watch it. You'll see what I'm talking about.
People ask me about different movies and things, but I'm not a TV person.
Yeah, me neither. That movie was scary, crazy. But, I mean, it's just, and the thing is you really have to want to do this. I think that you'll be really successful at this if your only goal is to help people. If injustice is something that makes you mad, then it doesn't matter how hard this is. It can be, you know, it's harder than childbirth. But if it's something that's very, very hard, it doesn't matter how hard it is. If that's something that you want to do to help people, it won't even matter to you. And so that's the difference between someone who wants to do it because they want to help people, you know, between someone who just sees the glamorous side. So if you really want to help people, it doesn't matter if you'll have to stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning. It doesn't matter if you don't get any sleep. It doesn't matter if you have to read a thesaurus to help your client. It won't, none of that will matter. In fact, it'll actually fuel you. It'll help you to get done what you need to get done for your client or for your community, you know?
Yeah, I understand that. I think that would have been one of my gifts to be an attorney, really, because I'm in the helping field. I love to help, and I do. And it probably would have just had, I would have probably been dealing with just the kids, you know, because I'm going to fight and do all kind of, you know, I go all the whole mile for the kids, you know. But I wish that my parents had saw that part in me because I do like the law. I do like to, you know, fight like that and take up for people and make sure that people have what they need, you know. I know my dad used to always say, just give me the facts. You know,
right.
So that's what I
like my daddy.
That's all I want is the facts. So that one word made me curious about the law. Really, just give me the facts. That's all I want.
Right. Yeah. That's all I need to help you.
There you go. Oh, so he was on to something. He was on to something.
Yeah, and you know how much I say that? I say that every day, probably between 5 to 10 times. Look, I know you want to tell me your story. I get that. Mm-hmm. You'll tell it. But right now, I need the facts.
Need the facts. That's it. I know that I put you in that because I love Criminal Minds. It's my favorite show. I don't watch TV. That's one thing I turn the TV on to watch. I used to love Perry Mason. You know, I love that part. I thought it's probably, like you said, the glamorous part of it. But I did see how they, you know, used to and do the investigation. So it is some work in that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I don't see the shows I like in court. They had a song. Oh, she liked that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's why you have to pay attention to your kids to see what it is that they are interested in and what catches their eye. Yeah.
Right.
They're being nosy, getting in the
right.
stuff and they talking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Right, and I think it's important that even if your child tells you, well, I don't want to go to college, I don't want to do that, I think that
mm-hmm.
every child after high school should at least go and get just a, even if it's just a 2-year liberal arts degree, because that's still good. It's still good to have that, and that'll actually still put you in a different tax bracket because some people will hire you if you have a degree. They don't care what it's in, as long as it's a 2 or 4-year degree. It shows stability and it shows that you can complete a task. So, but I think that college may not be for everybody, but I think that once you're there, one of the main benefits is meeting different people, the networking. You might meet someone in college who could put you in a program, and that program is only 6 months. I mean, I know you would probably drop out of college, but it's more about, I think some people miss the fact that it's not only about, you know, going to learn. It's also going about, you know, you meet different professors who might, you might like to dance, right? And your professor might own a dance studio and you have no clue. It's just different people that can be put in your path when you go to college. Whether you finish or not, it's a good place to be because it's like-minded people there. Everyone there typically wants to do something. So when you surround yourself by people like that, that may also fuel a fire in you that you didn't even know was there. Somebody could mention something, or you guys could go on some sort of a field, because colleges go on field trips too. And you could go somewhere and see something, and, you know, because as a child, kids don't know what they want to do. Some do. So if you don't really know what you want to do, go sit down in a college for a couple of years. And if you go right out of high school, a lot of times, if you go to a community college, it's low in cost. So you won't have a lot of debt. You could possibly, because I got 2-3 degrees for free. Was it 2? A couple of them for free. I didn't pay nothing out of pocket. So it's just a benefit even just to be in that setting sometimes. And then it'll also help you maybe to know what it is you want to do.
You've been in school a long time.
right after high school, but I did have the kids, which was a benefit because then I was able to go, I had a dependent, so I could go for free the first few years. But, yeah, I didn't really stop. I think maybe a few months because right after I had my first son, I went and enrolled.
I'm going to stop you. That's good. Okay. Anybody have any questions? Just press 1. You can ask Ms. Patillo some questions. You better get these questions in now. yeah, because you heard her say she's busy. The work will come. So you better get your free questions in right now and while she's on the line. I'm going to have to work on one of our kids and our family because we need an attorney in the house. You know, we need an attorney in the family, and I've been trying to look and see who it's going to be. And been, you know, just kind of checking them out and trying to see which one I'm going to, you know, bring to your office and just be, talk to or, you know, because, yeah, we got some real smart ones coming up now. Either Alana or, you know. I'm going to get one of them because we need a family attorney. We need to have a Clyburn family attorney. So
right.
Yeah. Okay. We have one caller at 9448. Sound like one of your fans. You have a question?
Yes. I once paid a lawyer $85 for 15 minutes worth of conversation. If I wanted a half-hour conversation with you, how much would that cost?
Well, I wouldn't charge you nothing, but yeah.
I thought I might be get away with that if I, you know, I'm just so proud of you, and you know, and I know your whole story. I remember when you first started going to school, and your mother and Sheila wondering, is she ever going to stop? Is this going to keep going, you know, one degree after another, one graduation after another? But I am so proud of you and so thankful to God that, you know, I love Law and Order. I love Matlock. I love Columbo. I love those investigative shows. I love to read. Reading comprehension skills through the roof. I thank God that, you know, you were able to do what you did. And in spite of everything, made it happen. And that's what's happening. That's what's powerful about this. And I just can't thank him enough for you and your brothers and your sisters. But, you know, you did it. You made it over. And you're still doing it. Question. Back in the day, they had something called legal aid. And folks who had less means could call and get free legal aid. Does such a thing like that still exist, and is it really helpful to people?
So, yes, it does. I actually give legal advice for legal aid a few hours throughout the week. So the way that it works is it's legal advice over the phone. So some agencies will tell people to call in that tell them that they'll give you an attorney for free. You don't necessarily get an attorney for free, but you do get legal advice over the phone. I think that it is very helpful to people, like the people that call in and really listen and take notes. I think it is helpful because I had one specifically tell me, oh, wow, I'm glad I called because I would have got in trouble in court. So people try to file things and do things that they can't. So, yeah, I think that legal aid is very helpful. Now, you do get a court-appointed attorney for criminal matters. You get a court-appointed attorney if your parental rights are about to be terminated. And there's one other thing. That would be a free attorney. But it's very limited circumstances that you would get that in. But, yeah, I think legal aid is very helpful. I can give the phone number, if you guys want me to legal aid.
Yes.
Okay, yep. It's 888-783-8190. That's 888-783-8190.
Okay, I have another question. Motions. I was down at the county building in Detroit, and on the ninth floor, and I noticed a wall full of motions. Does that mean anybody can go and file a motion and be successful? Are all motions the same? Are some, you could probably do it, some might require a lawyer?
That is not, it's not the actual motion itself that may help you be successful. It's what you're trying to argue is going to determine if you need a lawyer or not. So if the difference is, if you're trying to argue to modify custody and parenting time, 9 times out of 10, you're going to need a lawyer because of what you have to argue for that. If you're trying to get child support reduced, and you know a couple things, like if you know that your income has reduced, not by your own doing, you just got laid off, maybe took another job and the income reduced, you have more overnight, with the child, and you can prove all that. Things like that you really don't need a lawyer for because child support is statutory. The only thing the court is going to do is take your income, her income, you know, the income, plug those in. We have to use the Michigan Child Support Calculation Grid. Plug all that in. Whatever number comes out, that's what you pay. So some people, it's kind of counterintuitive to pay a lawyer to get child support reduced because you're pushing out more money that you really need to keep. So that's okay. Now, if you want child support reduced and your income has gone up, number one, I wouldn't advise that. But the only thing that can reduce it is, again, if you have more time with the child. but it depends on how much more time, because that grid only moves, I mean, every few hundred dollars. So if you're making 30, I had one client making 30,000 more, but wanted to argue that, you know, baby mama was lazy, that's not going to get it lower. So it really depends on what you want to do. That's going to dictate if you need a lawyer or not.
So then that's where legal aid would come in. You could call, you could ask that question, and they could let you know whether you're going to be, whether you need a lawyer or not, whether you can argue this yourself or whether this is something that you need a lawyer for.
Exactly. And so usually what I tell people is if you really listen to me, there's also MichiganLegalHelp.org. That's also a wonderful website that pro se litigants can use. And I tell people, if you listen to me and take notes, you can get through this on your own. If it's something that I don't think they're going to be able to get through them on their own, those are the types of cases that we sometimes refer to the local office attorneys. The local office attorneys, they represent in person. So they'll actually take the case on and represent. Typically, if there's domestic violence or if the person has limited thinking capacity, can't really understand what it is they're reading, and we know they are not going to be able to accomplish this before this particular judge, sometimes the local office will get involved. But, usually we can tell people if they can do it. You can tell if someone will be able to do it or not. If it's a lot of nuances to that part of the law, then it will be harder.
Wow. Well, thanks. That's all I needed was the facts.
Right.
Just give me the facts. Thank you.
Right.
You.
Quick and to the point.
Just give me the facts. Yeah. So, parents, if you notice that your kids are watching Columbo and Perry Mason, well, Perry, I'm going to come on.
Perry Mason.
Yeah, I don't
think
they'll come on anymore, do they?
Ride around the armored truck. That would be real cool.
Right. Any of those shows, that's your attorney. That's what you need to get them involved in. Yeah, they love it. Yeah. Well, Tia, thank you so much. You have been a star. Yeah, you've been in school forever. Just learning all you can learn. That's good. See, listen, children, if your kids are out there listening, she makes Sue easy seem like, because she loves it and she's been in there a long time. How many degrees you have?
Four.
She came.
Four or five.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah.
Four or five. Look at that. So you can do anything you want to do. Okay, anything. Yeah. Put your mind to it and do it. Even with kids, she was able to do it. And that's why I said woman's work is never done. When man made woman, he really made something. We are a special, special, special person, people. Yes, we are. We could juggle so many things. Just our work is never done. It's from the time we wake up in the morning to the time we lay down to go to sleep for a few minutes. We're still working, even in our sleep, to wake up and take the
right.
Food. So know that women have a lot, you know, a lot going on, a lot on their plate. So love them. Right. Love these women, because if you got a woman, what they say, if you got a good woman, a good woman on your side, what was that saying? A man that got a woman on his side. Pastor, help me out.
He that finds a wife finds a good thing. And
right,
a man who don't allow his... That's right. You know, if you can get you... That's what Pastor Barlow told me. If you want your church to be successful, son, he said, I don't know how you feel about women, but get you some women on every board in your church. So
right.
We loaded it up. we loaded it up. And guess what? They're getting it done. I mean, Deion serves on our executive board as our church council, the whole board, except for Jonathan Tate. Well, Jonathan, he's a pastor, and he serves in that finance area on the executive board because he's, you know, the one who covers that board. So other than that, we have a ton of women running almost everything. So, yeah, God is good.
Yeah.
You want to get it done. Tony Evans said a man who does not receive help from his wife is a helpless man.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Exactly. That's like you were saying, God made them. Look, I'm going to quit. I ain't going to preach a whole lot. But when God made man, he simply scooped up some dust, looked at it, breathed into it, and it became a living soul. But if you read in the Bible where he made the woman, it says, it uses a different word. It says God fashioned her. I'm like, so wait a minute, we just mud, huh? But she got fashioned, you know,
right.
So she was, exactly. We just spittle. We just, Jesus made spit, mud, spit in some dirt and made, so we just, amen. But anyway, God fashioned women for a specific purpose, and they're doing it. They're doing it.
Yes, proud. I'm proud of all the women. Yes, proud. Mm-hmm. Something done. Okay. Yeah, but I want to just, bless all the mothers and the women all over the world because they are special. They are. Yeah, we're going to fight for you and everything. There's no limit.
Right.
To what we want to do for you. Yeah. Find you a black woman. Yes, sir, you know what to do. All right, Sister Beyond, thank you so much. You guys want to, you need some legal advice, need some help, you just call Beyond Clarissa Patillo. And her phone number is 313-971-2700. That's 313-971-2700. You can go on RFCM.org, and you can get her information there as well. Okay? And just be prepared to give it a fact, tell the truth, you know.
Right.
So, Ms. Bial, we're going to call on you again in the future to, you know, give us some more conversation about this law because I know, like you said, it's the glorious part of it and then the backdoor part, and I'm sure it's kind of cutthroat and all of that. So, we want to know all the good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
So. We thank you so much. Like I said, I'm about to look and see which one of our kids are going to be an attorney, and we're going to push them. And you don't have to push them too much because that's going to really be something that they love to do. But like I said, parents, you have to keep an eye out for and just pay attention to your youth and just see what they do. Watch them and see what they're good at. See what, you know, what their gifts are and their talents are. And then lead them in that way. Support them in that.
Right.
It's about the kids, you know. It's all about
yep. The kids.
It's all about the kids. Yeah. They are up and coming. Okay. Any closing words, Ms. Beyond or Pastor Love?
Come, I'll leave it to Daddy.
I'm telling you, I talked with your mother the other day for 5 minutes for 3 hours, and amen.
Right. Daddy, she say, well, I'm going to go ahead and let you go, but right quick, and she say that like every 20 minutes or so.
Exactly. For 5 minutes for 3 hours.
Right.
You better see what it was, Dion.
Right.
Get to some of them calls because she likes to talk.
Right.
That's for sure. Yeah. No, I don't have much to say other than everything was excellent. I work with Gina. You know, well, Gina is the one who first published anything I ever wrote in a paper. picked up, I was writing something, and I sent it to her just to read. And then Sheila come running to me, baby Holy Ghost, come running to me, and she said, look, you're in the paper. And that was the first time I had ever saw anything that I ever wrote in the paper. And, you know, of course, I've written a whole lot of things now. But she's just been instrumental. She helped our business to grow. I mean, through advertising, through her paper, it helped our business for years. She got it in 2006. But we were hooked up with Mr. Walls as far back as, 94, somewhere, yeah, around 94, 93, 94. And we stayed with we're still with the paper to this day because, you know, it's just got an awesome reach right into the demographic that we try to do everything we do in. And so, you know, and she's an awesome person. I mean, got all those accolades, all those degrees and things like my daughter. But real normal people, real normal people. And I like that. So, yeah, awesome show. Awesome show, Kat.
Yeah. Next week we're going to have some people that's high schoolers that's graduating, that's doing the thing. You know, they're getting good grades and they're going to promising colleges and things like that. So we're going to have some youth on next week talking about how they excel in school and how they make it work. You know, just doing the work. Okay. So that's going to be next week. So that's it for Bring Back the Family today. We enjoyed it. Gina, thank you. Thank you, Miss Clarissa, Dion. Thank you so much. and Taylor, we appreciate you, Dion. Govern yourself accordingly, parents. Pay attention to your youth. What plan do you have for them? You have to have a plan for them. Want to say Happy Women's History Month to all the moms all over and across the world. You know, you are valued, and we love you on Bring Back the Family. Okay? So thank you, everyone, for tuning in and holding on, and I hope that you were able to get something out of the show today that you could take back and share to others, and help the youth to decide on some things and just share. When I share this the information with you, share it with someone else. When I send you the notification that Bring Back the Family is on, share it with other people so we can get this thing going, so that we all can be. All of our kids to be successful all over the world, okay? We want the best for all the youth, all of them, okay? Okay. Let me see what I have. So thank everybody for being with us today, and we will see you the same time next week. Hello, hello.
Put your bad stuff, say it louder.